91.9 WNRN Charlottesville.
89.9 WNRS FM Sweetbriar, Amherst, Lynchburg.
Listener supported independent music radio.
WNRN.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being with us today. A beautiful Sunday, as long as you drive down the center of the road. Watch out for all that snow along the sides. But isn't it nice? I thought that was the perfect snowfall for me, personally. I don't know if everybody else was. It was huge snow. I didn't have to go to work. It didn't. My power stayed on for the entire time period, which I think was crucial in keeping things in terms of making it a perfect snowfall. And then on Saturday, it melted out of my driveway. I didn't have to shovel actually like 350 yards worth of snow from front to back and then, you know, five ways across. So I hope everyone is safe. Hope everyone else had a lovely, perfect snowstorm as well. Here we are on Sunday morning. We're going to be talking about senior volunteers, sort of a salute to senior volunteers. Let me introduce my guests along the way, make sure I got volume where I need it. We're producerless today, so bear with us for however many wrong buttons I push. Over closest to the window, Pete Werzer. Pete, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. How are you this morning?
I'm well. Thank you so much. In the middle, Ed Russell.
Good morning, Rick. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Thank you, Ed. And then Gene McCusker. Gene, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks to all three of you for making it in today. Real quick, how was your snowstorm?
Perfect.
Ed?
Not perfect, but livable.
What made yours not perfect?
Well, we were. I'm too old to shovel snow, so I was wondering how we were going to get our driveway cleared. But someone came along and helped us, and some neighbors did our walk. And so we were taken care of.
And that's how it should be in this world. Help your neighbors. Gene?
Well, snow and home care do not get along very well.
Ah.
So we got through it. We were able to take care of our clients, but I prefer no snow.
And Gene from Home Instead Senior Care, who is, I guess, sponsor of one of the reasons that we're here today. There is the Salute to Senior Service Awards upcoming. And so Home Instead Senior Care nationally is the sponsor of this program, which is one of the reasons we're here is we talk about this as a community radio station, and I'm not sure which is more community-oriented than volunteerism. And that's almost what everybody here at WNRN is a volunteer, except those key people at the very top. So Gene McCusker, Ed Russell, Pete Werzer here talking about senior volunteers. Now, Ed, we'll start with you. Care to share, what's your age range? And you don't have to be exact, but we talk about how I think the senior volunteers have to be 65 or older to be qualified as senior. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true.
Well, I make it. I'm over 80.
And Pete?
I'm 65.
Gene, you're under 65. You just happen to be involved in the senior volunteer work. So I want to know where people get their urge to volunteer. Ed, what makes you want to be a volunteer? It's not for everybody. Let me rephrase that. Not everyone participates.
I really don't know. I was told once when my an employer tapped me for a community volunteer job, I had to shepherd some young kids in a project that they had. It wasn't very appealing, but they said, Ed, your profile, the test we gave you, show that you're very interested. And that didn't please me at that time. But when I did retire from my final employer, they had a large group of people that they were, well, let's say, not laying off, but giving early retirement to. And they had some people in to advise us. And they said, get out of the house every morning, go somewhere, do something. It's very bad for you if you don't. And I've always adhered to that. And I think it's been good advice. And I wrote an article several years ago called Work, the Secret Ingredient in a Successful Retirement. And I really believe that if you don't, if you rest, you rust. It's not good for you, your head or your heart.
If you rest, you rust.
Yeah, well, that's from ACAC or somebody said that.
Well, but, still, that's a good phrase, yeah. Especially for today's program. Yeah. Again, salute to senior volunteers, Ed Russell. So you were told by an employer that you would make a good volunteer.
They said it shows that you're very public service oriented somewhere in this psychological test. And
did you ask to retake the test?
Yeah, I demanded a recount. Yeah, no, I didn't.
And you currently volunteer at a variety of places. You're here today sort of representing
the Alzheimer's Association.
Alzheimer's Association. That's you told me that you also volunteered other places?
Well, when I first came to town in 1995, I went down to the Red Cross to make a contribution, and they said, how about volunteering? And I said, what do you need? They said, we need a newsletter writer. And, oh, boy, I thought that was wonderful. I was a former speechwriter. I just had wanted to write a newsletter for my former employer, and they wouldn't pay me to do it, so I was glad to do it for nothing. And once you get away from an employer working for nothing, contrary to everything you've always believed, working for nothing is wonderful. You don't sit around and say, I wonder what they're paying that person over in the next chair. You just are happy to be valued for something. And so I started writing the newsletter for several years, but other things happened in my life, and I switched to Alzheimer's because of a personal problem.
Does having the term senior in front of volunteer, is that, you know, bring about any sort of tick? Like, why do they have to have that on there?
Doesn't bother me at all. I've never been sensitive about my age, so.
It's Ed Russell here helping to salute senior volunteers. Ed volunteers his time as an office volunteer at Alzheimer's Association.
I basically work in the office for them and doing a lot of data entry and data analysis. And I do some fundraising and outside activities for them. But my job is what's called volunteer analyst. I keep their reporting system.
We also have Pete Werzer here today. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning again.
And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I agree with virtually everything Ed has said. To me, volunteerism in retirement is really something that gives you structure in your life. You know, many retired people, you know, at some point they end up not remembering what day of the week it is, and it's not because they're mentally unfit. It's that every day runs into the next, and volunteerism helps do that. The other thing that I think is really important with volunteerism is that for those who haven't done it, I think you need to do two things. Number one is get something you have a passion for, and once you have that passion, the reward for doing it far outweighs the hours and the commitment you make to it. I find out, for example, I volunteer with Habitat for Humanity on the midweek crew, and I find that when I'm volunteering, the satisfaction that I get back is so much more than what I put in. And that is a marvelous way to spend time.
Again, we're talking about the senior volunteers in our area. It's a salute to senior volunteers. There's an upcoming event. Gene McCusker here, representing Home Instead Senior Care, which is the national supporter of the Salute to Senior Volunteers. Gene, you're also on the board at the Senior Center.
Yes, I am.
The Charlottesville Albemarle Senior Center.
Yes, and the Senior Center obviously serves our senior community here in Charlottesville, but it is all about active aging. And the exciting thing is there's over 2,000 members, but amongst that group of people, they are putting 50,000 plus hours into the Charlottesville community. And that equates to well over $1 million worth of labor that our local nonprofits are benefiting from. But as Pete and Ed said, those volunteers are benefiting from it as well. So it's a nice combination where if somebody isn't quite sure where they want to volunteer, here's a group that can say, okay, let me tell you some of the options here in Charlottesville, because there are many.
Now, Pete or Ed, I've already lost some of my mental capabilities because I didn't go outside during the snowstorm. And one of you mentioned how if you don't get out, one day sort of leads into another and you have no difference of day. And that's exactly what happened to me. Is that a bad thing? I stayed up late on Wednesday to shovel a little bit. And then suddenly I was like, oh, I need to get ready for the show tomorrow. Oh, wait, it's only Friday. And then on Saturday when I woke up, I thought, oh my gosh, it's not late because it's Saturday. And so that happened. Ed?
It's not only bad for your head and heart, it's bad for your relationship when your spouse gets tired of asking you to move your feet so she can vacuum. She gets more and more pointed in these comments, meaning, I don't want to see you around all day long. Find some place to go.
So we didn't really get into that part, and we will throughout the program, but there are many benefits to being a volunteer, one of which is your personal inside relationships, not necessarily just your outside social relationships. Pete?
Well, I can say that the way I look at it is that even in retirement, where I don't get up every morning to go to a job, I still treasure weekends. And that's that structure that I enjoy. So, you know, a Friday night is still a special night to me. And a Monday morning is, well, sometimes a little drab. But from my perspective, you have to have the mind actively engaged all the time. It's one of the reasons I do volunteer work is because it keeps the mind sharp. You're solving problems, and it's a continuation of what you've done all your life.
There's a lot of studies out there that show what happens as we retire. And the traditional study was that you work till you're 65, you shut it down, and then you just kind of relax. Well, as people age nowadays, they're aging differently. And after they retire, they might retire a little early, take a few years off, travel, come back, go back to work, learn a new skill, go to school. And we're becoming more engaged as we retire, which is really, really important because there are so many elements of just well-being. And they are not only spiritual, they're physical, they're emotional, they're social. And volunteerism, the social component, is critical because as we age and it gets harder to get out of the house or we don't have the same energy, we're still very valuable to the community. So we need to find the right volunteer opportunity to keep that social engagement and also give back. So, there's writing campaigns to the troops. So if somebody doesn't have the physical wherewithal to do Habitat, they could do something like that. At Habitat, they can work in the store, they can work in the office. At the Alzheimer's Association, it's fundraising, it's volunteer through supporting people coming in. There's so many different things you can do that matches your physical level.
Again, talking about the salute to senior volunteers, our guests today, Ed Russell, Pete Werzer, and Gene McCusker. Be right back.
Today's programming on WNRN is supported by
T&N Printing, serving Virginia since 1982. In addition to printing and copying, T&N specializes in construction document management, as well as dry mounting, binding, and mail services. T&N offers FSC-certified printing, an internationally recognized standard for production and consumption of forest products. T&N Printing can be reached at 434-971-8976 and T-N Printing.com.
Arts Council of the Valley's Court Square Theater presenting Peter Rowan's Bluegrass Group on Friday, February 21st. Tickets for Grammy winner Peter Rowan's Bluegrass Group and upcoming shows like Stephen Bennett at Court Square Theater can be purchased at valleyarts.org. All shows begin at 8.
Automated Office Systems, providing WNRN with personalized local copier and printer service and maintenance. Automated Office Systems is headquarters for all of your computer needs, including sales and service of desktops, laptops, and tablets. Automated Office Systems, 434-979-0790.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you so much for being with us today here on WNRN 91.9 and Crozet and the Valley's 101.1. I'm glad everybody's hopefully safe and warm after the snowstorm. Thank you for tuning in with us today. Gene McCusker from Home Instead Senior Care. Obviously, you're heavily involved in seniors just through your business, and then you're on the board at Charlottesville Albemarle Senior Center. Have you, or whether it's you personally or the numbers nationally, people live longer lives, they're healthier lives. Does that mean that we've had more volunteers?
I think we're seeing more and more people come out into the community to help. It's interesting. I always say retired people are the busiest people I know. We have a lot of retirees that work for us, and their schedules are packed, and they're doing things that they're passionate about, as Pete had said. And I think we're also seeing, as nonprofits are growing, they need more skill sets. And we have so many people going into the retirement pool that have great business backgrounds, so they can do analysis like Ed. And it's nice to see people going out and not only using their talents that they've had, but putting them towards a nonprofit that really aligns with what they're interested in doing.
One of the other questions that a friend of mine brought up was, well, or does that mean that because people need more money to live a longer life that you would have fewer volunteers? But it sounds like you're saying no.
I don't think we have a shortage of volunteers, especially I think Charlottesville is very unique in that, that we are a very community-centric town. People believe in giving back here. We're one of the most generous philanthropic towns in the United States. Forbes magazine did a study on that, and Charlottesville was on the top of every list because I think we just have that type of community that people want to help. And you're going to see people having to work longer. I think especially they're living longer, but with some of the financial crises that we've had, or crises we've had, some people are having to work, but I'm seeing those people working 20, 30 hours a week. They're not doing that full-time, nose-to-the-grindstone job till they're in their late 70s. They're doing a part-time job here and there just to supplement their income.
Again, Gene McCusker, Home Instead Senior Care, also on the board of the Senior Center in our area. Ed Russell, representing the Alzheimer's Association, where he volunteers. Pete Werzer volunteers Habitat for Humanity. Gene, back to Home Instead Senior Care and the Senior Center. Certainly there are, because so many folks in the United States anyway are living longer lives, have we found that because of the personal aspect that seems to be involved in volunteering, that we have more volunteers in some sort of medical profession?
We're seeing more volunteers in medical, but where I'd see that mainly is at the free clinic. They have an amazing group there where there's retired nurses, retired doctors. There's also people with non-medical backgrounds that are in there because they believe so passionately that people need affordable health care. So you are seeing people in the healthcare, but healthcare, because so many of the parts of that industry are regulated, it's hard to do volunteerism there. But people are volunteering at Martha Jefferson, UVA, and they're still out there in the community. If that is their background, sometimes that's where they focus.
But Home Instead Senior Care is a for-profit business. Do you have volunteers who work for you?
No, we are definitely for-profit, and everybody that works for us has to be our employee because we are regulated by the Department of Health. But the interesting thing is the majority of our employees are seniors or borderline seniors.
So let's talk for a minute about that and then carry over to Ed and Pete. I want to talk about the personal drive. We've mentioned earlier about how many, I'm not sure what the percentage might be, that to be a senior volunteer often comes from the internal passion. There's something that is specifically related to you and the business that you, the organization that you have chosen to volunteer for. So, Gene, you talk about how at the free clinic or other medical organizations, is that, share that with me about why, what drives you to work at Homestead Senior Care, Homestead Senior, and I just got all that, I just put the two of those together, but explain that to me, what takes you in that direction?
I think so much of it is how you were raised. Who you are as a person. My family didn't do a whole lot of volunteerism till my parents were in their mid-50s, but that's because my parents were very young and working full-time and trying to take care of kids and commute to work. There wasn't a whole lot of time available for volunteering. I, as a person, just always loved it. And even in my early 20s, I was down in Florida working for the Children's Home Society of Florida as a volunteer. It was just something I was passionate about. And I think as you age and you retire, and the Pete and Ed can respond to this, sometimes it's, is it something to do or is it pure volunteerism? This, I want to do it just because I want to volunteer. I volunteer constantly, probably too much. I just need to learn the art of saying no sometimes, but it feeds my soul. And I am an advocate for partner families in the Habitat program, and watching somebody go through that whole process is so rewarding. And you have this wonderful relationship with this family, and you watch them grow and change through the program. You just can't replace that feeling of being able to help somebody else. And years ago, Whoopi Goldberg did a commercial, and she basically said, if everybody in the United States would give 1 hour a week, the majority of our social problems would be addressed, because there would be so many people out there engaged in the community, paying it forward and helping people. And I can't say enough about teaching your children to volunteer as well. It's really, really important.
Pete, take me through, explain to me what has led you to be at Habitat for Humanity. What is your personal attachment to that organization, or led you to that organization?
I think it's several fold. One, I sincerely believe that we need to do everything we can to make sure that people have livable homes. Okay, those who can afford it and have the desire to have it, I believe that I have an obligation to give them a hand in that. You know, Habitat has the long used phrase, and it's true today as it was the time it started, is Habitat is a hand up, not a hand out. And that really catches me, because I believe that volunteering with those who want to help themselves pays back the biggest dividend. The other thing, from a personal point of view, I've been doing homeowner-type stuff all my life, probably when I was 20 years old, even younger than that. I started out in the painting profession with my dad. And what I've been able to do with Habitat is I can be a teacher and help those who also volunteer so they learn something, and I can also be a student, because I learned from others on the job. And really, from a payback point of view, the social circle that you begin to understand and get along with and they become friends, that's irreplaceable. So to me, as I said earlier, the payback is so much more than what you're giving, but what you're giving is a valuable thing as well.
But was there an event? Is there something that made you, whether you met a person or a family who was in need, or a friend who gave the help to someone who was in need, you know, the passion or the background of being involved in construction or home ownership. But suddenly when you retire, and maybe you're not even retired, but what has, I want to know what took you to volunteering rather than going out to play golf on all your free time, or
because I play a lousy
football.
I play a lousy game of golf, I guess, is one of the reasons. No, the reason is that there are others who need things. There are others that haven't been as successful as I have been in my life, and it's an opportunity for me to make a difference beyond just doing something for myself. okay, whether it's making money or whatever, that I can, to use again a phrase to give back, but I think there's a lot of truth in it, that you want to help folks that need the help and want the help and are willing to work for the help. So to me, it's a very rational decision, more than an emotional decision. I want people to have better lives, and I want to help to make that. But there's no specific one person that said or left me with the impression that, geez, this is something I have to do.
Pete Werzer, who volunteers at Habitat for Humanity on the midweek crew. I want to ask that question in just a second. Ed Russell, who works at Habitat, who works at Alzheimer's Association. Ed, you mentioned early on that you're there because of a personal issue. Can
yes.
you share that with us?
When I moved here 19 years ago, in 1995, we had my late first wife's mother living with us up in New Jersey for 4 years, and she had Alzheimer's. And it's interesting that when someone has Alzheimer's, people are either drawn closer to them or distance themselves from them. And in my case, even though I had a sort of antagonistic relationship with her for many years, for 30 years, I found myself saying to my wife, "Your mother is coming to live with us." Shocking words, but that's what really happened. But by the time we moved down here, she was very difficult to manage. And we put her in, believe it or not, the only memory wing at that time in this part of the country, in the whole Jefferson multi-county area. There was only one. Today, you can't drive anywhere without passing one or two places with a memory wing in it. That's how serious this illness is. But anyway, my wife was interested in Alzheimer's because of her mother's situation. And when my wife died in March of 03, I decided that I would switch from my current work as the newsletter editor at the Red Cross to work for the Alzheimer's Association. And they needed my money. My time. They had just had a financial crisis and had to lay off a lot of people. They didn't get the support. And so I've been with them for 11 years, and it's very, very enjoyable. I would like to say that better than senior volunteering, I'd like everybody to remember Gene's phrase, active aging. In other words, it's important to be an active ager. Maybe some people work. Maybe they have to work. Maybe, like Gene, they work and they volunteer at the same time. But maybe they just have to keep their nose to the grindstone but are looking for volunteer opportunities when the day comes when they are 65 and they have Medicare, so they don't have to work full-time anymore to make sure they get benefits. All those things are worth thinking about. And you don't have to volunteer. You have to keep yourself active, and that's number one.
And so much about volunteerism, we're hearing two very different reasons for volunteerism. And one thing that's critical part of volunteerism is advocacy. And advocacy can come from a life experience. And like Ed's, the Alzheimer's Association is one of those groups that there are no survivors of Alzheimer's. So their volunteer labor pool is actually relatively small. When you think about somebody that has taken care of a spouse for 20 years, when they lose that spouse, they're tired. They're still an advocate, but they may not want to give back in that same venue just because they've been living it for so long. And then you look at something like breast cancer, where there are so many survivors, there are so many advocates. The pool of volunteers is so different. And so it really is important to find something that's your passion. And Alzheimer's is the only top 10 disease that has no cure in sight. So it's affecting a huge group of people with very few survivors. So advocacy is just as important part of that role.
I think people often say that, and this number will be wrong, and please correct me with the right one, that everyone knows someone who has suffered cancer, someone in their family. And I am sure if not already, that someone knows someone in their family working through problems with Alzheimer's. 11:29 here on the Wake Up Call. We're talking about a salute to senior volunteers. Our guest today, senior volunteers Ed Russell, Pete Werzer, and then we have Gene McCusker here, who is worked for Home Instead senior care. And Gene, let's take a moment and talk about the Salute to Senior Service Award, because that's one of the reasons that we came together today, is that Home Instead Senior Care is nationally supporting this. So we'll come back to where people can go and give the basic information, but talk about this.
Well, at Home Instead Senior Care, we realized how important the senior volunteers are in our communities, and we really wanted to highlight that and celebrate it. And so this is the third year of the program. I'm very proud to say the first year we had a state winner, and the state winner volunteered for Hospice of the Piedmont 40 hours a week, and he was in his 90s. And it was just such a beautiful story. He had lost his wife and knew that he couldn't get through it without them, and continued to go back to the hospice house to volunteer with other folks. Last year, Dawn Schultz at the Senior Center volunteers 120 hours a month at the Senior Center. She is incredibly busy and gives so much back to that particular community, so that there's more programming and all sorts of different things that people can attend that she sets up. She has a technology group that meets once a month to talk about new technologies. And so what we're doing is a national contest. Locally, we will be giving $500 to the winner, the state, or to the winner's charity of their choice. The state will give $500, and if they win the national, it's $5,000. So it's an opportunity for a local charity to get some money as well.
And the website for people to go read more about this or to make their put their vote in?
It is salutetoseniorservice.com, the whole name. And anybody can be nominated. You can nominate yourself. But the important thing is it is based on popular vote. So get out there and vote. Tell your friends. And then that way I would love to see a state winner and a national winner here in Charlottesville, because as we all know in Charlottesville, we deserve it.
Can the three of you, again, Ed, Pete, and Gene, can you define for me what outstanding volunteer is rather than just define outstanding volunteer?
I'm going to take that one because these two are being way too modest today. Ed does so much for the Alzheimer's Association. He's been nominated, I think I heard, over 11,000 hours that you've given the Alzheimer's Association over the years.
Something like that.
My guess is that Pete stopped keeping tabs after about four.
Yeah. They don't keep track. They don't even begin to understand the impact that they've had in the community. I mean, Ed is one of the faces of the Alzheimer's Association. He's not just a volunteer. He's a face of the organization. And Pete, on the midweek crew every week, there's a group of folks out there that every week they're out there Tuesday through Friday. They're more skilled than our regular volunteers at Habitat, but doing great things. And Sam, who's on the midweek crew, is from New York. And the midweek crew took two trips up to New York to do Sandy relief. They don't know these people. They just went up to help. And to hear the stories when they came back, the impact they had. And it's not even their own community. It's just like, hey, we have the skills. Let's go help some people. So I would like to celebrate the two of these folks because they are amazing.
Outstanding. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us. 11:33 on the Wake Up Call. We'll continue talking with Gene, Ed, and Pete as we salute senior volunteers.
WNRN thanks the following for their support of independent music radio.
Telegraph Gallery Art and Comics at 110 4th Street on Charlottesville's Downtown Mall and telegraphgallery.com. Telegraph deals in screen-printed art and independently published comics and zines by local and national artists. Telegraph welcomes you to decorate your walls or fill your shelves in Charlottesville or on the online shop, telegraphgallery.com.
GigDog, putting live music at your fingertips by streaming bands with upcoming shows in your area. You can pick your location and favorite genres, and GigDog will bring you the bands coming to your town. It's gigdog.fm to discover new music online and find gigs right outside your door.
Hi, I'm Jen Fleischer from Birth Matters, Virginia. You're invited to the 4th Annual Birth Expo on March 1st from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Herman Key Center in downtown Charlottesville. This free event will feature an exhibit hall with representatives from all aspects of the Charlottesville birthing, parenting, and family health community. Charlottesville City Services will be represented from CHIP to Parks and Recreation. We even have a toddler play zone, demonstrations, and workshops. For more information, head to SeavilleBirthExpo.com. I'm Jen Fleischer, making a community connection on WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection at WNRN.org with your nonprofit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you so much for being with us today. Enjoy your Sunday. You shouldn't have to shovel much anymore. Thank you so much for being here on the Wake Up Call. Our guests, Pete Werzer, Ed Russell, and Gene McCusker, as we talk about senior volunteers. A shout out and a salute to the senior volunteers in our area. Ed, we mentioned a bit about the number of hours that people put in, and keep track. If you go to the SaluteToSeniorService.com site, there's sort of a, it's not a clock, but it's got numbers. It keeps clicking every second, seems to show another hour that senior volunteers have given to throughout the nation. So it just keeps clicking. And but when I left today, it was at 29,000 and some. But when we before we came in, you were talking about the number of hours that aren't even accounted for.
That's right. And in a sense, they can't be. Most of our Alzheimer's volunteers are people who have assignments that they're working on where they're stopping to make a phone call, stopping to run into a place and ask someone to do something, and they can't keep track of all these little incidents. It's an imposition to say, we want you to estimate all this or keep a list. So we keep records of the people who put in office time, which most of my time spent is office time. I do some work at home and I do some work out of my car, and almost always I forget to record those, as do these others. So I just completed a study. We had, 1,500 office hours, but that has to be a drop in the bucket. I counted volunteers and I had over 1,131, I think, people during the last fiscal year, the year ended June of 13, that had played a major role for the Alzheimer's. They had served on committees. They had worked at events. They had done all kinds of heavy lifting like that. And so that was 1,130. That left out 2,000 who had helped in minor ways, such as showing up for the walk and making a contribution for our annual Alzheimer's walk. So we don't count normal fundraisers as volunteers. They volunteer to give money, but that's not a major time thing. So we have, of the 3,000 people we know of, we're counting just over 1,000 of them as people who are doing the heavy lifting for us. And we're just acknowledging that the others, we're thankful for them. We appreciate them. We thank them in person. But we can't claim that they're major volunteers. And I'm sure all other organizations have this same thing going on. People are helping them in minor but significant ways that don't ever get recorded.
Pete, tell me about the donation versus the contribution of time. Ed, I believe, mentioned early on that when he got to town, he went to the Red Cross, he was going to make a donation, and ended up writing a newsletter, etc. Talk about the difference, because for many people, myself included, I choose not to volunteer time when I could probably fit it into my schedule, but it makes me personally satisfied to write a check.
And I think that's an excellent thing to do. I think that that comes in part of your passion, and you may have passions for other things. Perhaps it's stamp collecting or whatever it might be, but that you're willing to write a check for a charity of your choice, I think, is a wonderful contribution. From a time perspective, though, the way I look at it is I can make a lot greater a contribution to, let's say, Habitat by donating my time than I can by donating my money. I can do both, and I do both, but to me, I think the time is what's really important. Not to overplay, though, I know we just talked about, you know, how many hours do senior volunteers volunteer. I think the way I like to measure it and the way we measure it as Habitat, for example, our objective this year is to build 20 homes, have 20 families purchase homes that didn't have homes before. To me, that, at least in Habitat, is the real measure of what all our hours mean, and that's the payback. And I think everybody looks at that collectively, whether you're working in the store putting together furniture or repairing it, or you're in the office answering the phones, or you're being an advocate to help partner families to prepare to be homeowners. That's the kind of thing I like to measure.
20 homes. 20 you know, homes why there. Why does Habitat for Humanity get lots of notice when there seems to be Build a Home Week? You know, there seems to be, you get pictures in the paper when there's some sort of attention that's being given to one volunteer, to one nonprofit organization, and then it somewhat slips to the side if there's not enough media attention paid to it. What does Habitat for Humanity do internally to drum up volunteers? Or do you not do that and you let people come on their own?
Well, no. For example, upcoming at the end of, or excuse me, the beginning of March, I think it's March 3rd, we're going to have a get-together where all the current volunteers, or many of the current volunteers, will be bringing a new potential volunteer.
Is this your plus one date?
Yeah. But in any case, what it does is it exposes folks who have not perhaps volunteered with Habitat before, probably haven't, maybe haven't done any volunteer work. I think that what we're going to see happen is those volunteers will be exposed to a broad array of activities that they may have a passion for and that fit in with the skills and the experience that they brought, you know, or have gained through their lives.
11:41 on the Wake Up Call. Our salute to senior volunteers with Pete Werzer representing Habitat for Humanity, Ed Russell volunteering at the Alzheimer's Association, and Gene McCusker representing Home Instead Senior Care, which is the national supporter of the Salute to SeniorService.com award site. So, Gene, we were talking before we started about the number. You asked me, do you know the number of nonprofits in our area? And I stepped away from that saying, I don't want to know before the show starts. I don't like to know that kind of information before we get going. But blow my mind now.
The Center for Nonprofit Excellence has that number about 1,200.
Okay. You got me. I was going to go for 600, thinking that was probably on the heavy side, just so you didn't, you know, catch me short. 1,200?
That's what they say. I did a class at Darden on social entrepreneurship and worked with the folks at CNE, and that's the number they gave me. And it's quite breathtaking. It does include, as you said, the university, churches, et cetera, but it's still a significant number of groups competing for time, money, and volunteerism. So it's really important that everybody finds that passion. And when we don't think in terms of volunteerism as somebody on Sunday morning running the daycare at church. You know, those are unmeasured hours in the community. There's a program at the senior center that happens to be a personal favorite of mine, that there's a group of women that like to sew. And what they do is, if a child's parent dies, they take clothes from the child's parent and make teddy bears for the kids. I mean, and it pulls at your heartstrings. But it's such a cool program where these ladies are getting the socialization. They love to sew. They're doing what they love. And these kids are getting an incredibly special and unique gift through volunteerism. So that's why I say find your passion, because there's so many cool things out there that you can do.
Pull at your heartstrings. That's all right. That one got me. Salute to senior volunteers. What about, and I, as I'm doing my homework on the Salute to SeniorService.com site, don't forget you can go there and vote for someone. You can put someone up to be voted for, enter someone as a candidate. Salute to SeniorService.com. How about seniors who, because there's two parts of this, seniors who are not physically able to leave the home, who have some sort of chronic issues. And then there are those who can't leave the home because they don't have transportation, but otherwise they're fine. How does our area, or in any area, how do you overcome these challenges?
Well, the person that is homebound with chronic illness is probably not able to do as much, obviously. People that are just homebound, jaunt, we're very fortunate to have a service here in town that can get people to and from their homes very economically. So they can get to the senior center, they could get to the Alzheimer's Association or anywhere that they wouldn't want to go volunteer. And we actually have people that are doing that. Jaunt goes to the senior center constantly. And it's important to get people out of the house. It's not healthy to sit in the house by yourself all day.
Does Jaunt provide, I know Jaunt isn't very expensive, it's $2 or $3, but does Jaunt provide free rides for seniors? Do we know?
I don't know. I heard, and this may not be accurate, but I heard they were working on a scholarship program.
All right.
And so that's a place where you can write a check.
And I thought I saw that you had an answer for me on these questions.
Well, I do have a comment. You know, Charlottesville is like a smorgasbord of cultural amenities. There's anything that you want to, all these wonderful cultural affairs that we have, most of them attributable directly or indirectly to the presence of the university. But we also have a huge variety of volunteer opportunities, and it's not just at the senior center. JABA, our Jefferson Area Board of Aging, surely one of the premier programs of its kind in the United States, they have people full-time keeping track of volunteer opportunities within their own organization and beyond. And they have a lot of – they're an umbrella network of a whole thing. They have a lot of things under their partial control or interest. So you can call them, and they'll give you a host of opportunities. You tell them what your situation is. And I think also the United Fund also may maintain. There's all kinds of places you can go where there are volunteer opportunities, and you literally have your choice of something that makes you happy. And so I've known more than one person who's volunteered for hospice and various other things, and reading for the blind. Those have been around for years, and it's just as I say, a sort of a smorgasbord of opportunity for people who want to volunteer.
And, you know, this is for listeners out there, WNRN. Community radio. And one of the things that makes us community radio station is because of the support from the nonprofit organizations, but it also gives us a chance to reach out and promote the nonprofits that are out there. We've done shows here with Alzheimer's Association, Habitat for Humanity. Dan was on the program, I want to say just within the last year. The Senior Center has been on the program. That is what Charlottesville Albemarle is about. Not making us number one, yay, go Charlottesville Albemarle, but it is one of the things that makes us special. Gene mentioned that earlier in the program. Gene, you were talking about the number of nonprofits that are out there, 1,200. But Pete and Ed and Gene, can we talk about some of the organizations that are out there, and what some of these volunteer tasks, you know, what can you volunteer to do? Pete, do you want to start?
I'll start with Habitat, if that's okay.
Yes.
Habitat, the array that you have at Habitat, it starts obviously, you know, swinging a hammer, lifting walls up, and things like
well,
that.
Well, that's what I envision. Right. I need to have some sort of construction background or interest, or otherwise I'm really not needed.
First of all, that's not necessarily true. In fact, that's not true. If you have a little bit of an interest, yeah, we can put you to work. You can learn. Okay, it's not rocket science. It's construction. But beyond that, we have a need. For example, over at Southwood, which is the trailer park that we purchased about 5 or 6 years ago, we have the need for folks who speak Spanish. okay, because there's a fairly heavy concentration of Spanish-speaking people there. They need help sometimes figuring out, okay, what do we have to do now? So that's something they can do. They can work at the store. They can volunteer in the Habitat office. There's an analysis that can be done. I mean, there are projects that are always that we can always use help on in getting things done. For example, we just did a major study at Southwood with the idea of understanding what that new community should look like in the future. And one of the best ways to determine that is to ask the people who live there. But we need people who can do those kinds of things, that can tabulate the numbers, that can formulate questions, that can work with our paid staff to make sure that the process goes properly.
Ed, what's you do data, you were talking about. So my vision is of you in your cubicle with your computer set up there. I'm sure that's incredibly incorrect. But what else is needed at the Alzheimer's Association?
Well, Alzheimer's work is very, very labor intensive. And that's why we're always trying to raise money. This is an expensive proposition, fighting this terrible battle that afflicts over 5 million Americans today and is only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. We have a lot of jobs, very simple jobs, short jobs. Jobs that people can put a fence around. If you're the kind of person who say, I want to volunteer, but I don't want to make a long-term commitment, fine. You call into our offices at 973-6122. We're in the phone book. And tell them that you'd like to volunteer. We can have you put labels on papers. We can have you making phone calls to people. We can have you sorting literature. We have a library. By the way, we're at 1160 Pepsi Place. We're two parking lots over from the Senior Center in full view of them on the third floor of that building. We have a very nice, friendly office to work in. There's a preponderance of ladies. I'm just trying to – a guy trying to make it in a woman's world there. But I do enjoy it, and I have – one of the great things about volunteering – in a business, in a going office, is that my friends are colleagues, not just geezer cronies down at the coffee shop. So I feel good about that. But we have a whole lot of jobs that people can do, and we need your help really desperately. And we're running a lot of programs out of there and a lot of other activities. So it's really exciting to see all this going on around me.
Gene, can you give us a few other of the nonprofits in the area? Are you aware of some places and what volunteer spots they may have that need filling?
Oh, yeah. How much time do we have? There's a couple different venues people can look to. United Way has a website about volunteering, and local nonprofits can either put that specific project or long-term needs. If people want to work with children, there's Book Buddies, there's tutoring, there's all sorts of children's programs out there, Children, Youth, and Family Services. We also have the animal contingent. Around here, we're all animal freaks. So the SPCA, Caring for Creatures, the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation out at Montpelier. I mean, there's all sorts of fun ways you can help give back to this community. And one way, say you don't have the physical ability, but you really want to participate and give back and use your professional skills, Center for Nonprofit Excellence has a board development program. So people can go learn how to be a better board member or to be a good board member and then join a board. And they actually keep track, and a board will say, hey, I need some help. And you can sign up. The Women's Initiative, there's a lot of issues with women's mental health. There's SARA, the Shelter for Help and Emergency.
I'm not sure that you've mentioned any organization that we haven't had on this program.
Okay. And I mean, is that a challenge?
No. Well, I just mean that's part of what happens around this town is patting somebody on the back and then giving them a push. I think Pete mentioned earlier it's giving them – it's not a handout, it's a hand up, and that's part of what makes this town great. And I can say, number one here on Community Radio and one of the few times. Ed?
I'm a member of another nonprofit organization that your listeners may not be aware of. We've been here for 42 years. We're the Jefferson Land Barbershop Chorus. We sing and practice every Monday night at University Baptist Church across from the medical complex on Main Street. And we're working now preparing for our show on March the 29th at the Martin Luther King Center, and there'll be news about tickets shortly. But we're a nonprofit, and we perform pro bono. We make money in some things. We do have a professional director we have to pay, but we perform it regularly at care facilities at Christmas time and at other times of year. And we have a wonderful time doing what we do, and we invite anybody who likes to sing. You don't have to be a great singer. You have to be able to carry a tune and remember words. We'll train you in everything else. And come join us some Monday night at 7:30 at University Baptist Church and sing one of the original American art forms, barbershop.
All right. Now, Ed got you beat because I haven't had the barbershop quartet.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
The
he got yet. Me beat on that one, too.
He got you on that one. 11:55 here on Sunday morning wake up call. Just a few minutes left before Les Temps. Purdue, let me remind you that whether you're an iPhone or an Android user, it's easy to get WNRN on your phone. Willow Tree Apps has created WNRN apps for Android and iPhone, which you can find at Google Play or the App Store. We also recommend TuneIn for your smartphone to listen to WNRN anywhere. All right, just a minute or two left. Folks, we're talking about volunteering versus working, treating it as a job versus not taking it seriously. Because for some people, you know, the job requires perfectionism. You know, there are those type A personalities. And I would think that much like going to work, if you're volunteering at a place that has a number of volunteers, you're going to bump into a personality type that doesn't work well with you. And whether that's somebody who's not taking the job seriously enough, failing to show up when they'd like to, they have an excuse for this day, but I can work this day instead, versus the person who drives you insane because. Now, Pete, On a construction site or inside the store at Habitat for Humanity, can you share your thoughts on the number of volunteers and how you best get along to meet your end, your long-term goal?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, I am basically a type A personality, so you've identified me pretty well.
Well, I saw your knee bouncing up and down for the whole hour I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here. I got to get up and go.
The thing is that everybody can contribute in their own way. And we have enough volunteers on the job, usually midweek crew particularly, where we partner up folks that work together well. Maybe there's a teaching-learning situation. Maybe there's work that's maybe a little less demanding, but nonetheless has to be done. Is it important? So there's always ways to balance and juggle that thing, and I think our staff on site does an excellent job of that.
And the one thing about Habitat I want to say is I think it's a volunteer experience that's the great equalizer, because you can be on a job site, everybody's in shorts or jeans and T-shirts and swinging a hammer, and it can be the partner family and a bank president working together. And it's really not obvious who's whom. They're just working for a common goal, and I think that's so exciting, and that's a big part of volunteerism.
Real quick, we've only got about 60 seconds left. And, Gene, you said a word that brought a question to mind out of my pool of words. Family. Can anyone think of whether it's your organization or another organization where families can volunteer together?
Absolutely. You can go to the United Way and they can find opportunities. We do Be a Santa to a Senior, where the families can wrap gifts, deliver them to seniors. Finding Adopt a Grandparent, the whole family could go and really interact with the senior in the community that may not have that visitation.
All right. Thanks very much to our guests today, Gene McCusker, Ed Russell, Pete Werzer, and especially to the organizations you represent, Pete at Habitat for Humanity on the Midweek Crew, Ed Russell, Alzheimer's Association, is an office volunteer there, Gene McCusker on the board at the Senior Center, also representing the Home Instead Senior Care. Don't forget, you can salute the Senior Service Awards www.salutetoseniorservice.com. Thanks, everybody.
You.
I appreciate your help and your work. Enjoy your day.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Brandon Wong and Max Cecilia Struther. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.